This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Deserves a better class of sports radio, and we're gonna give it to them. This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, John Reed, Cam Black, Team Haven. For the next 3 hours, we will talk sports and other things. How are we today? Two thumbs down from Hayden. My goodness.
Oof.
You look exhausted right now.
Did you have to wake up early or something, Hayden?
Just look at him. He looks exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Long birthday?
Maybe.
You guys need to figure out that microphone, by the way.
What?
We got to figure out what to do with that microphone. We gotta have a consistent thing. Like, does Charlie turn it off when he leaves, or is he leaving on?
No, he leaves it on. That's which is annoying.
Saying. We gotta figure that out.
I know.
Picks up a lot of weird noise, especially when you go to fiddle with it. We gotta figure it out. Not blaming you, blaming Charlie. But we need some. We need people on the same page. You look exhausted. You got two thumbs down. You can explain it later, Cameron. How are you?
I'm not great, John. I'm not great.
Not great. What's the matter?
Well. Of course, we had the Vols lost last night. After
didn't just lose.
They didn't just lose.
They got their ass kicked.
We had that after Draven and Hayden wanted the gator chomp in here. Just went down here from there, and then Draven just abandoned us.
Abandoned. I don't know if abandoned.
After we were relying
right
on
word.
Draven, we were counting on him.
Yeah.
And counting. I'm just disappointed all around. So.
Yeah.
Not doing great. Well, not doing great. Everything's let me down right now.
It's always tough. It's always tough when we start going around the room with how people are doing. The first two are bad, so that's not good. Draven, are you okay at least? How are things for you? Good?
Yeah, doing a little bit better than these two, I'd say.
You still don't sound great, though, so that's great. Fantastic. Got low energy in the room today.
Just what we need.
Low energy in the room today. Which is sad because we probably have thousands of new listeners after we were featured last night on WBR.
Hey, hey.
Yeah. Definitely couldn't miss us, especially Draven's head.
Shots fired already. Okay, I'll take it. No, that's fair, Cam. That's fair. I ditch you guys in your little trivia game. That's fair. Take your shots. I'll take a couple more. That's cool. That's fun. That's okay.
He didn't do you any favors with how he's, focused and zoomed in on you, though.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's cool. I mean, just the star of the show, I guess, just the pretty face up here. I don't know. Maybe that was why he was so zoomed in on me. I'm not sure, but yeah, he did, zoom in a couple times. Made my head look a little already big enough, I would say, on screen. I think the zoom was a little unnecessary, but hey, it's cool.
Hayden, how did you feel? You were represented. Thumbs up from Hayden. Oh.
But not a very enthusiastic thumbs up.
I almost just want to send him home. He's dragging down the energy. It's going to be a thing all day. I almost just want to send him home. But I don't have to record the podcast and run the Periscope. So I'll power through his trying to drag me down in the mud. Make me take a turn to negative town. I'm not doing it. I'm not taking a turn to negative town.
Rise above.
I'm rising above hate. We'll get into the Tennessee coaching stuff. Some updates here in a bit. But first, last night, just a complete and utter annihilation in Gainesville. Had you told me there was a 26-point beatdown, I would have thought, yeah, that makes sense. Florida's without three of their best players. Of course Tennessee went in there and beat them down.
Yep.
I wouldn't have been that surprised by it. However, It was not Tennessee going into Gainesville to beat Florida down. Au contraire, it was Florida defending the O-Dome and Mike White getting his second win over Rick Barnes. Just a complete beatdown. 75-49. Your takeaways. We'll start with Cam.
Was pretty embarrassing. I don't think I've seen a Barnes team lay down like this in a while. Like, once it kind of got out of hand, you could tell they were really flustered and stuff like that. It was just poor shooting. And then when you got behind, you started getting sloppy and started making more and more just mental mistakes. Like, even on the defensive end, where, you know, you usually expect us to be very solid, we were just making dumb mistakes or getting out hustled, stuff like that. And, I mean, when that happens and you're not hitting shots, yeah, you're going to get blown out. So it just was a bad combination of a lot of stuff, in my opinion. And, I mean, it's not like a, you know, death sentence or anything. Not like we can't bounce back from this. But it does worry you about, like, you know, once you get the tournament time, and anytime you just could lay a goose egg at any moment and be out the tournament, so...
Yeah, that was one of my main takeaways last night on the voluntary reaction. Appreciate everyone who listened and called in. Sorry if I'm about to repeat some of the things you've already heard. Podcast is available on our SoundCloud and iTunes. But, yeah, that was my takeaway. Like, Tennessee could still – it wouldn't surprise me if they still made a run to the Elite Eight or Final Four if they got hot for a couple games.
Yep.
But also, like, last night showed me that this team can get bounced in the first weekend as well.
Absolutely.
And it's not, there's not that much margin for error when you get there. Now, I don't want to completely ignore that, you know, Jaden Springer wasn't playing.
Yeah.
And that's the second time you've lost whenever he hasn't really been available to you. He got you know, knocked out early in the Alabama game. So, you know, I don't know if I would call him our most important player, because I do think if Pons wasn't there to defend the rim, like, it would be a layup line at times.
Yep.
But I will say that it does feel like Jaden Springer is your most important offensive player. Tennessee has looked lost on offense whenever they haven't had the option to go to him.
Yeah, he opens everything up for everybody else, it kind of seems like. And he's also one of the few guys that you can almost trust to get a basket when you need a basket. We still don't quite have that guy yet. You got to have that guy. Or like you said, once you go to the tournament, you could be gone in the first round if the other team has somebody that's hitting their shots and you don't have a guy that can take over and, you know, match that. So, yeah, they... We got some soul searching to do.
Yeah, and that's probably my biggest takeaway, right? We keep comparing this team to 2018, you know, just talent-wise or whatever, expectation-wise.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have a go-to guy. Like, even on that team, we at least had, okay, we need a bucket. We need to stop this run. We need to change the momentum. Let's go to Grant in the post. Or Bone, fast break, pull up Jay, kind of change up that momentum a little bit. Admiral can hit some big shots as well. We don't have that guy right now. Like, who do you feel confident in when you really need a bucket? Like, in this game, when Florida was going on that run and we just kept turning it over, kept making mistakes.
Yep.
Like, who do you trust to just give the ball to and say, hey, let's go get a bucket right here. We need a bucket. We need to change the momentum. We need to stop their run. Who do you trust right now? I mean,
it's almost Springer's almost that guy. Like, if anyone, almost.
And even Springer, I mean, do you really trust him to be that guy even when he's on the floor? Like, I do think he is, you know, contributes obviously offensively, and we do have a big hit without him, but... Even if, do you really think he's that clutch guy? That's my biggest worry. And maybe we could still develop that, you know? Maybe, I mean, we still got a lot of time. And it's probably good we're losing now and not losing later in the season, right, in the SEC tournament or going into the NCAA tournament. So that's positive. So we got a lot of time here. But, yeah, that's got to be the big takeaway here. We just don't have a guy that can just go get a bucket, kind of calm everything down a little bit.
Absolutely.
John Fulkerson's supposed to be that guy.
And he's not. He's not.
He hasn't been, yeah.
No.
I mean, he's good at, like... You know, the two niche things he does, but, you know, he's so limited offensively.
It's frustrating that you can't just throw the ball into him this year and get a get a bucket.
And I think that's what we were expecting just with his development. We kind of expected him to develop into kind of what Grant was, just that post player, like you said, just go into him. Let's get a bucket. Let's get the offense rolling a little bit. But, yeah, man, he just looks passive out there. He looks a little soft, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Oof, the rebounding was rough. That was ugly.
That was ugly.
The constant offensive rebounds for Florida, man, that was really what's brutal, because that's supposed to be one of our strengths, right? Just the defensive side, being able to get rebounds with Pons. That was what was really, I think, ugly for me.
Yeah, the defensive possession, you know, doesn't end until you get the rebound. That's what,
right.
Yep.
That's what the thought process should be there. And, you know, Tennessee only gave up 14, which, you know, I don't know what the average is each game. it's weird to see because Tennessee had 17 themselves. Like Tennessee,
yeah, that is crazy.
Tennessee was getting a bunch of offensive rebounds. They just weren't making shots. And yeah, you do have a lot of options. I guess maybe that's the point. Yeah, it's easier to get three more offensive rebounds when you miss 14 more shots.
Yeah.
That's fair if you just look at the percentages.
Yep.
To me, the shooting was bad. I didn't notice the rebounding as much live, Draven, so I can't really comment on that. But it did seem like you got bullied down low by this Omar Payne guy who went pawns on you with 9 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 blocks, including 5 offensive rebounds. Like, he was there making a big, big difference. Meanwhile, Tennessee just couldn't hit a shot. They missed 31 of their 58 shots. They shot 29%. They missed 15 of their 18 three-pointers for less than 17%. And missed 13 of their 25 free throws for 48%. Like,
couldn't hit anything from anywhere.
Needless to say, you aren't going to win any games against anyone with a pulse with those numbers. Mm-mm. You might beat South Carolina upstate with those numbers. Yeah. You're not beating a SEC team on the road.
Is Viscovi hurt? He was hurt, right? Because, I mean, he looked injured, and then I don't know if his just confidence was shattered. There was, what, 2 or 3 possessions in a row. It was just like he was scrambling, especially when they had that just little mini press they were running. He had, what, back-to-back turnovers on those?
Yeah, it went from, like, 12 to 16 or 14 to 18, like, with Tennessee. Just
really quick.
Ball, just because Tennessee couldn't get the ball up the court. Like, it was junior high stuff. They went on a 6-0 run, bucket, steal, bucket, steal, bucket. And, like, that was the end of the game.
Yeah. And there were times, I mean, we were down 12, like 11-minute mark, and Viscovi just had a nice steal. He jumped a passing lane. We get up the court, and then Keon just, like, loses the ball and turns it over.
Exactly,
it's just like,
stuff like that.
Yeah, just, I mean, anytime we did have something going for us there in the second half, it just, we kept blowing it up.
Questioning Viscovi is fair. We know he can't really handle pressure.
No.
When it comes from, you know, just on-ball pressure, that's something he struggles at. But also, like, if you just look at his last 5 games, I feel like you can only say he played good in one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Texas A&M game, where, you know, he came out, he
scored 23.
Yeah. Hit his first, was it, first 6 three-pointers, first 5 three-pointers, whatever it was, 4. I mean, whatever it was. He hit a bunch of threes.
And he doesn't have to be scoring a lot of points, but he's got to knock down these open shots, right? Oh, he's getting a lot of good looks. Right. It's not like he's not getting good looks.
Well, what I was going to say is that's the only game he shot well from the field. The other 5, you know, just of his last 5 games, just look at his last 5, since we've pretty much gotten to this funk we've been in, he shot 33% against Alabama. 1 assist, 1 turnover. He shot 14% against Arkansas. 3 assists, 2 turnovers, 4 points. He had a good game against Texas A&M, where he scored 23 and he shot 61%. He only turned the ball over once, had 3 assists. Against Vanderbilt, shot 20% from the field, 3 assists, 2 turnovers, 8 points. And last night against Florida, shot 25%, 1 turnover, 1 assist, 7 points. And you add all that up to, like, he's not playing the best defense either. And that is an issue. And especially in the Alabama game and the Florida game, where you don't have the option to replace him with Jalen Springer.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Springer. Sorry, not Jalen Springer.
Man, we got quite an uphill battle to win the SEC at this point.
Yeah, I think we can go ahead. I don't want to say write it all the way off, but it does feel like this is – like, Alabama's really good, man. Alabama's playing a fun way of basketball, and they went down to LSU last night, and that was a game you thought, like, hey, maybe they'll lose this game. Like, Tennessee could be tied for the lead in the SEC when the night's over. Ain't going to happen because Alabama gains a game on you. As they go down to Alabama, just absolutely annihilate the Tigers. How many points did they finish up with? Because I know they had 60 at halftime. They had 100 to Hayden when we left the studio last night with like 5 minutes left. They only ended up with 105, I guess. So they didn't score a lot in the last like 8 minutes. But it looked at one point they could easily put 120 up on LSU. But either way, they still beat them by 30 on the road.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Maybe the team that you're looking at is maybe being the next best in the, you know, in the SEC.
They had 2 guys hit 6 or more 3s. That's crazy.
Do you worry about
John Petty?
They had 3 guys.
Feel good. Feel good, Tennessee fans. You think John Petty's only good against you? He had 8 threes last night. He was 8 of 10 from 3 last night against LSU, which We always make the jokes about John Petty staying in school too long.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he's turning himself into a pretty good three-point shooter and showing, like, hey, maybe he can play at the next level or at least get a chance, you know, when he's shooting. Over the last 2 years, he's up to 44 and 42% from three.
Yeah. Mm.
So feel better, Tennessee fans, if you think John Petty only plays that way against you. Is he the leader right now for SEC Player of the Year, Hayden?
Who else would it be?
Yeah, I was going to say, who else would him?
That Trendon Waters guy at LSU scores a lot. So, I mean, he could be him, but he obviously outplayed him last night.
Yeah, I guess Petty only is averaging 14 points a game, but it's a lot more since you've gotten into conference play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more since you've gotten into conference play. So, like you said, Draven, the winning the SEC feels like a uphill battle. Or maybe Cam said that. I don't know. But it feels like an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Do you think our formula is just not going to work in college basketball now? It's all about scoring in threes like that. You can kind of see that trend in college basketball, too. Are we on the other side of it, just like football?
Oh, we've definitely been on the other side of it when it comes to, like, Rick Barnes loves the mid-range jumper. That's something that we have that is something we have talked about. He loves his mid-range jumper. So, yeah, I would say we're on the other side of it a little bit. Now, when it comes to offense, on defense, no, you're still going to play defense.
Right. I agree.
And, like, Alabama can have a bad shooting night and get bounced, too. Like, I'm not going to act like they're some juggernaut, but you know, they're also going to come into your building, and if they hit a bunch of threes, they're going to bury you.
Absolutely.
We're off and running in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Dr. Steven.
Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, made with their unique brew pure process to deliver you only the finest flavors. Eight delicious flavors you could try. Pick up a variety pack. Or if you find one you like, just grab those. Only 100 calories. Ditch the beer belly bloat. Please drink responsibly. All right, anything else on Tennessee basketball?
Just got to fix the offense, I hope. I think the defense, you know, will be fine long term. I think it was just, you know, you get down, you get flustered. Everything was kind of a mess, and it just kept snowballing last night. I think it's happened, you know. Most good teams do have a couple slip-ups anyways.
Can you fix an offense in the middle of a season like this?
I think it's just a matter of just the shots have to just start dropping. Like, we're getting good looks at times, and they're just not hitting.
I think it was just one of those games, too. When you shoot under 30% and under 20% from three and just missing pretty good looks, it's not like they weren't getting, you know, bad looks the whole game. They were getting decent looks. I just think it's just one of those games, honestly. I don't think there's any room to panic or anything. Is offense great? No, but I just think rough shooting night. Can you just pin that on this? When you're shooting 29%, I mean,
this team might not be good at shooting, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, what's the best we've started as a team, like, consistently? Now, I mean, you might have one or two games, but, like, consistently, I feel like we look at the box scores frequently and we're not hitting threes.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Some nights we're not even taking threes, really. So, like,
yeah.
But it also goes back to, I'm not even talking about just shooting, but, you know, it also goes back to, like, can we just go in and get a bucket when we have to?
Yeah, that's my biggest thing. And
we don't have anybody that's done this in the tournament before on the team either.
Yeah.
I think that's important to remember. Like, John Fulkerson did this in Rupp Arena last year.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have anybody that's gotten us buckets in the tournament.
12 for 25 from the free throw line. That is so brutal.
That's probably so honestly brutal. One of the most embarrassing parts about last night.
You just don't have anybody you can rely on right now. It's supposed to be Fulkerson. But, like, Fulkerson's in Barnes's doghouse. Like, last night was weird. He got he started, got benched, got back in the game, got benched again. Like, Barnes was just yo-yoing his minutes at the beginning of the game, trying to, like, get through to him. Maybe because Barnes was like, hey, we have to have some aggression from you. We have to have you be better.
Yep.
Is that why old Euros on the floor last night? The beginning of the game?
Yeah. Well, I didn't notice Urosh out there, but I noticed Kumwa out there.
No, he was out there.
Yeah, he got 6 minutes.
Yeah.
I didn't notice him at the very beginning, but I saw Kumwa out there. Maybe just desperately trying to find another big, but, you know, if it's me, I'm not playing another big, really.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm not playing another big. I'm fine. They want to play Fulkerson and Pons together, that's fine. But, like, somebody teach Barnes how to stagger minutes. They don't have to play the same minutes all the time. Teach him, like, hey, we're going to play Barnes. We're going to play Fulkerson and Pons for a little bit together, and then we're going to play just Pons at the five. And then when Pons needs a rest, we'll put Fulkerson back in and take Pons out.
Yep.
Because what we need is some spacing on this team.
Yep.
We need some spacing. We needed to open up some lanes to get people to the rim. When Fulkerson and Pons are in the game, you don't really have an open lane because those guys aren't really a threat outside of 10 feet.
And that's where Springer and Keon Johnson have to – like, that's going to be their element is when you have room to operate because, like, you see the athleticism. You can tell they like getting to the rim. But, yeah, I've seen times where it's either crowded down there or they're just missing shots down there. And I think they're still learning. They're still getting used to it, of course. I mean, how many games in are they? 12 games into their basketball career with us? I mean, yeah, they've got some time, but also, you know, they're still learning.
They got some time, but they're also one-and-done guys, or at least like we thought they were one-and-done guys. So like we have time, but we also have to like maximize every moment we have with them.
We need it to click like now.
And it's hard to go small, I guess, last night whenever like Victor Bailey's like 1 of 12. Like he's not
– he's supposed to –
I like his confidence at least. But
and like I think he was getting good shots too. He like, was, they just weren't falling. Like it's not like he's forcing, but like, bro, you got to hit some shots.
Yeah.
Got to hit some shots. I'd be interested to see how the how Devonta Games' minutes go. Moving forward, just because after the game, Barnes was very, I don't know if he was so much praising Gaines as he was criticizing everyone else, but Barnes went down the list and pointed out that Gaines in 11 minutes had the most rebounds on the team.
Wow.
I mean, it was effort, like we mentioned the rebound numbers earlier, like Florida was just out-efforting us on that side of the ball.
Gaines is not talented at all offensively.
No.
He's not, but like on defense, he will give you effort and he will try, like.
Yep.
And, like, again, I'll be interested to see how his minutes go because Barnes made a point to go down the list and point out that he had more rebounds than everyone on the team. He tied Josiah James, like, I'll give Triple J his credit, who was only out there for 13 minutes and grabbed five rebounds himself. But, like, Gaines and Josiah played a combined 23 minutes, and they, you know, by far led the team in rebounds. I won't say by far. I guess it was 5-4 still.
I also don't love it.
Per minute, definitely.
I don't love that Fulkerson led the team in assists.
I don't have as much of a problem with that, especially with Springer out. Like, it would be nice if Escovy would do it. It'd be nice if Josiah, Keon is breaking down the defense. But like, they give Fulkerson the ball so much that like, it's okay for him to kind of have the ball at the elbow and find a cutter, or be in the post and find a cutter, things like that. But,
I agree. It is good that he's able to find those open people and get, I guess, good shots that people are hitting. But I would like a guard to break down the defense, and I think that just opens up more options in the long run most of the time. But, weird night from
Was there a reason Josiah only played 13 minutes?
I was literally about to ask that
last night.
I didn't either.
I know he had three fouls. I don't know if he got in foul trouble early. I mean, he's 2-for-8, so he's getting his shots up when he's out there. But like, I didn't notice that live last night.
No.
No one really brought up on the voluntary reaction either. But looking at the box score, seeing he only had 13 minutes is a little surprising.
It's strange.
The minutes weren't out by the time we left here last night for some reason. Kind of took him a long time last night.
I feel like it always happens that way, though, on the night after. You don't really have the minute breakdown. That's surprising.
Yeah.
Especially with Springer out, too. You think he'd get more minutes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, again, especially if you're struggling rebounding, you have a guy that got five in 13 minutes.
I think it just shows the lack of, like, the small ball lineup we didn't run last night as much. Because usually it's him, Pons, and then the three guards, but we obviously didn't have Springer last night, so.
Yeah. If you go small, I wonder if they would put Gaines out there. Kind of as another guy who is going to come in.
Doesn't kind of defeat the purpose, though, because I mean, the whole reason you'd want to go small is to space the floor more. Gaines cannot shoot.
That's fair. Yeah,
he has no thought of shooting.
You'd probably have to have Gaines with Fulkerson if Fulkerson's your center.
Yeah,
but that's fair. But I'm just like, whenever you do go small, you do need somebody who can help rebound.
Mm-hmm. Especially after last night, like I said, getting out rebounded.
Your quote unquote Russell Westbrook role. Now, obviously, Gaines ain't that guy offensively. I'm just simply talking rebounding. But that's fair. All right, we'll put the ball on Tennessee basketball. They got Missouri, right, on Saturday?
Mm-hmm. Saturday night, 8:30.
Okay. Obviously, need a win there. We'll switch gears to Tennessee football after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio. inauguration going on. We got UFC in the background.
Oh, yeah. It's way better than the inauguration.
What,
has
violence. What's the big fight on this card?
Oh, I just looked at it earlier. I don't remember. There's not a bunch of great names on this one.
Yeah.
That's why it's at noon on there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I didn't know this was Dana White being mad and trying to counter-program the inauguration because Dana White was a big MAGA guy. I didn't know if he was trying to just counter-program Biden's inauguration.
Maybe. Like,
we'll show you. Give my people something to watch instead of the stolen election.
Yeah, maybe.
Or he's just trying to sell the...
he's pumping stuff in.
The McGregor fight.
Yeah, he's pumping
Saturday.
Stuff in because they stopped...
This Saturday? That's this weekend?
They just started back doing UFC this year, like this past couple weekends.
Yeah, McGregor is not in Fight Island, right?
It?
Or is it? Because, I mean, I think this is in Fight Island with the way it's
I think
starting
so.
At 9 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock it in the is. Morning is the...
I mean, I think it's at a normal time. It is at a normal time. But I do think it may be in Fight Island. Like, sometimes they do it the weird times to try to accommodate. But it also kind of depends on who's fighting. Like, if you have, like, Khabib, who, of course, has a bigger following over on that side of the world,
they'll
try to
too.
Cater more
right.
to that.
They'll do it early in the morning when that happens.
But, yeah, I think they're trying to get, you know, McGregor fits more us and UK's and Scotland's so demographic, so...
So what's the latest when we check in on the Tennessee football situation? I believe we have arguments right now on how soon the AD will be hired.
Mm.
Some have said it'll be very quick. Some have said it'll drag on for a week or so.
Yep.
We had a coaching candidate get taken off the list.
Yeah, that's the big news, I would say, if you are in the Hugh Freeze boat. Mm-hmm. As you had... Randy Boyd, basically, was it Randy Boyd who took him out? Or I guess the Knoxville News Sentinel wrote, just basically pointing out, like, hey, here's the things that... Okay, so Randy Boyd had an exclusive interview with Knoxville News on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And he discussed his statement about, you know, basically having to integrity being a requirement. This comes courtesy of the Knox News. Quote, you don't clean house of a bunch of people who aren't following compliance and go out and get other people that don't seem to have a record of following compliance.
Hmm.
When asked specifically about Freeze, Boyd simply said, I would just say that somebody's integrity and their history of integrity will be a key criteria.
So that's a no. A big, fat no.
That seems like a no. And, like, Tennessee has said some things that they're not going to be able to take back when it comes to this hire, I think. Like, they went on to talk about how a requirement is that they get a proven winner. Who the hell is a proven winner on this list besides Hugh Freeze? And, you know, again, if you look at the list, who else would you consider a proven winner? There aren't very many of those guys out there. Like, unless you're going to call Bob Stoops. Which, again, I understand it's not going to happen. Like, please don't think I'm saying that's realistic. But that's the only guy I feel like is out there that you could say proven winner outside of maybe Gus Malzahn.
Yeah.
Like, Bob Stoops and Gus Malzahn, is that it?
They're not considering Herman a proven winner of anything, right?
I mean, he went 13-1 at Houston 1 year, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Again... Sugar Bowl.
I mean, what's a proven winner is the question to them.
That's
you know?
Fair. Like, I mean, that's fair. Like, you could maybe look at someone like Neil Brown at West Virginia.
Yeah.
Pull up his resume and, you know, three straight double-digit win seasons at Troy. You could say, well, he's a winner. I don't know how you could sell that to a fan base when you look and say, well, at West Virginia, he was barely above 500. But again, at Troy, he was a proven winner. He was. He took them from 4-8 his first year to 10-3 his second year. That is about as good as it gets.
Yep.
Followed that up with 11-2. Followed that up with 10-3. His resume is far superior to Jamie Chadwell's.
Yeah.
Who, again, by the way, if Randy Boyd is saying we have to have somebody that doesn't really have any integrity issues, like does that rule Jamie Chadwell out?
That's what I'm wondering.
But again, like if you're saying proven winner, maybe we should take Neil Brown seriously.
Yeah.
It makes you nervous, John.
Neil Brown doesn't do it for you?
No. Especially the thing is, like, his thing at Troy was offense. And
yeah.
I believe he was a wide receivers coach in his past. And his nothing at his offense has been any good at West Virginia.
I think it's terrible. I think it takes time.
What's his second year, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it was. Yeah. And then they went 6-4. I mean, the offense wasn't great. You're right. But, like, they went 6-4 in a pretty much a conference-only schedule. I mean, I know they had one game out of conference. But West Virginia wasn't bad this year, I didn't think.
They won games with their defense, though, is what I'm
saying.
They did.
But
that doesn't make me feel good about him being the head coach.
Right. Well, that means you played to your strengths.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like that's the opposite. I feel like if a guy can be an offensive guy but also, like, win games with defense, to me, that means that, like, you just know how to coach football.
I just think it means he has a good defensive coordinator.
That's about to say. Or the right staff.
I mean, that's okay.
And I would be more on board if he would bring his entire staff. Honestly.
Is that not a part of, like, kind of what we want from coaches to be able to build a good staff? And, like, if we hire an offensive coach, I want them to bring somebody that knows how to coach defense or, like, allows their team to coach defense. And, like, knowing your offense can't put up points and don't run, hurry up, and get off the field and put your defense in bad situations. Like, you know, again, it's kind of a frowned upon statement because of who said it, but there's truth to it. Complimentary football, like, know how to play it. I know Butch Jones has constantly said complimentary football. But it's true, like, if your defense is better than your offense should be trying to limit possessions and, like, keep their defense on, you know, keep the game under control for their defense. Don't lose it for them. Don't go out and turn the ball over. And that's kind of what they did for a lot of this year. Again, I'm not advocating for Neil Brown, but, like, if he is on your list as a proven winner, like, I would rather have him than Kevin Steele. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but, like,
To me,
that's the other thing. Like, more people, like Austin Price today on VolQuest said, the field versus Kevin Steele, he said, give me Kevin Steele, which means that he thinks Kevin Steele has more than a 50% chance of being retained.
So he's saying that's from, like, UT's perspective, not just his perspective.
Well, he was saying, when asked to make his prediction of, like,
what he thinks
or what he's heard and combination or whatever, he said give him Kevin Steele, which, again, can you say that you want a proven winner and then bring in a coach that's, what, 1-31 in conference? Can you do that?
It's a tough sell at that point. People are going to ask you that question.
1-10, 2-9, 3-8, 3-9. Can you actually say, and look, is it fair to judge somebody at Baylor in, you know, 1999 and 2000 when Baylor was, you know, just a complete afterthought and didn't care at all about football? Is it fair to judge them? I don't know. I'm not to make that decision. All I know is that's his only head coaching job, and he won 9 games in 4 years. So don't tell me you want a proven winner and then try to tell us Kevin Steele is that guy.
Yeah.
Has he been a part of some winning? Sure. As a coordinator. As a position coach. No thanks.
What about just the fact that, how much do you think UT is going to vouch for Kevin Steele? How much do you think they're going to bring in? Let's say they have their candidate, they won't bring in the head coach, but they also say, like, hey, we also want Kevin Steele on the staff. Like, how much do you think that affects this whole situation? Is a head coach going to want that? They're going to want that guy already on the staff? Like, even just, not even him, just the head coach, him being on the staff, I feel like could affect the next head coach's decision, whoever they try to get.
Yeah, and, like, you know, I think if they had a candidate, let's just say they do call and they're saying, hey, proven winner, Bob Stoops, Neil Brown, Gus Malzahn, and like, hey, do you want the job? And they said, yes, but I want to bring my own defensive staff in. I don't want Kevin Steele there. I don't think Tennessee would be like, well, sorry, we're not hiring you then because we love Kevin
Steele.
I don't think that would happen. I don't think they're sitting there with ADs right now, if they're interviewing ADs and saying, hey, do you want this job? Oh, by the way, we're gonna hire Kevin Steele. Are you cool with that? Like, I don't think that's happening. If it is happening, then, like, just shut the program down. Like, let's just take a death penalty for a couple years. Let's come back.
Please.
Let's do the UAB. Let's just, hey, we need to really hit the reset button here. I mean, am I wrong on that?
No.
I wouldn't say so, but you're preaching stability. It's, you know, not going to look very stable when you hire a coach and then get rid of him in a month.
Yeah, it is tough if you have him, like, trying to be the liaison, basically, for the players right now.
Sure, and, you know, that was the point I made yesterday. I was like, look, I mean, I think they're paying him to have relationships with the players to keep the players from all leaving. And it would be a real gut punch if the players all started liking Kevin Steele and then all of a sudden he wasn't around and they had to find a new staff. I get that. But if you hire Bob Stoops or you hire a big-time winner that you trust on being able to convince them to stay, because, I mean, like, if you hire a coach, let's just say 2 weeks from now, these guys are already into their semester at college.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know how many would actually leave just because of Kevin Steele. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. But I don't know. It gets a little weirder now since, you know, you do have that free transfer.
Sure.
I think that makes it a little, like, in a normal year, of course, you'd be like, okay, well, it's a lot more effort for me to try and transfer out of here than, you know, tough it out. Might as well stay. And I feel like now you're like, oh, I got a little bit more flexibility.
That's fair. But let's just say, like, you know, if Tennessee drags their feet and, you know, this coaching hire gets made in middle of February. Let's just call it middle of February. Even, you know, 2 weeks from now will be February. The one-time transfer rule, knowing that you don't have a year to kind of redshirt, that you can go expected to play, would it not be tougher to almost transfer in the summer and, like, make the roster and, like, make the two deep? Unless you're, like,
I mean, yeah.
Unless you're, like, really good, but, like, hey, newsflash, like, Tennessee doesn't have any players on this. Tennessee doesn't really have any players on this roster right now that can transfer to a big-time school and go compete for championships as a starter. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, that's
might
true.
Be a couple guys.
I was gonna say Eric Gray.
Yeah, like, that's about it.
Yeah. At this point,
Toho Tuo, who knows if he'll even be like back on campus? Like, have we got an update on that? I believe as of yesterday, he hadn't made it. So, like, maybe he can go somewhere and he'd be fine. But, like, it's not like there's a lot of people in this roster who could.
Fair enough.
It'd almost be better, I think, for them to see a transfer and just get to sit out of here.
Yeah, it would be tough to try and, you know, because the other players on the team would have already have established themselves a lot more once you transfer in. But, yeah, just makes it a lot more interesting. All around.
The timeline is confusing because, you know, they're saying they want an AD first. They're already rolling out coaches. I think there's a reason we're probably, you know, going to hire ECU's AD or UAB's AD. Which is because, like, we're going to tell them coaches they can and can't hire.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was a big-time AD, let's just call it a Power 5 AD that would be interested in leaving my school to come to Tennessee. Because, like, the AD job at Tennessee should feel pretty good. You got money to do things. Like, you pay, you know, your head coach. You're in the SEC. You pay your basketball coach a lot. Your baseball program's on the upswing. If you want to try to make the Lady Vol basketball team good, you can do that. The softball team. Like, it's easy to be good at all the sports here at Tennessee. Except, you know, maybe, like, it's been a while since I've seen volleyball be good. Like, no offense to them. Like, I haven't just seen them be good in a while. But, like, every other sport has had their flashes recently, right?
Yeah, the volleyball team's...
Who?
The volleyball team just...
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to pick on them, but it's like... I've never heard of them, like, really doing anything over the last, like, 12 years. That's all I'm saying.
Plus, they only had, like, a 5-game season this year, too. So, just like...
That's fair. But, like, just over the last 12 years, that... Yeah. Like, track and field can get back. Like, they've kind of rebounded. They've been pretty good.
Absolutely.
They've been at least, like... They went to the depths for a while, but, like, they've kind of bounced back, and they're good again.
Yep.
Everything else, like, softball, obviously, could be good. We've seen that. Baseball is pretty good right now. So if I was a Power 5 AD, like, this would not be a bad job. Now, yeah, there's turmoil. Still, like, you know, you have everything you would want. But I don't know if I'd leave if I was getting interviewed by a school. It's like, yeah, we're going to give you – we need you to make a football hire. It's going to be very important. By the way, you can't hire Hugh Freeze. You can't hire Lane Kiffin. You know, basically two of the biggest names that you could hire as an AD and, like, win the fan base over and, like, maybe fix the football program. That's why I think we're hiring guys that we can – control or that, you know,
makes sense.
I think that's good.
Or to view this, I don't know.
I don't know how that's with the AD. I feel like this job's more appealing though, isn't it, for an AD? Because it's like, can't do much worse, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
can't get much worse. Like, you're gonna look good almost no matter what, as long as we come out of this on the other side a little better.
I will say that's kind of the same thing we said about Philip Fulmer.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, oh, okay, you know, he taking over after John Curry. This guy, you know, just get football to be somewhat stable, and you'll be, you know, you'll cement your legacy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's
sitting
up there.
Fulmer, he's sitting up dug there, his own hole.
But he's sitting up there on the verge of tears, like, you know, he's getting fired again.
Yeah.
But you are right. Like, and I, you know, we say it every time we talk about recruiting here. We say it every time we hire a coach here. The AD is no different. If you come here and Tennessee football starts winning again, you will be a legend.
Simple as that.
I mean, it's simple as.
Yeah.
Simple as. You come here and you win. And I'm not even saying championships, you just win.
Yeah.
Like a great, really smart, really handsome, bald, big-headed radio host said last night on WBR, let's not talk about the good old days. Let's just talk about being good again. Let's just get good. If you can come here and just win 9 games, as an AD, you will look like you did the best job ever.
Yeah. Jeez. Crazy we're at that point, but.
So for that reason, it should be appealing. Mm-hmm. For that reason, an AD should look at this and say, you know what? Sign me up. Sign me up. We'll continue the conversation on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks, Jamie here.
Got a little bit of coaching news. You can almost assuredly take this name off the board. Draven, what do you got for us?
Doug Marrone, former Jags head coach, headed to Alabama, going through the Alabama process, looks like.
Okay.
Well, didn't want him, so.
No, okay. We didn't, and I do think that Doug Marrone, like the talk of him would be under the assumption that Philip Fulmer was making the decision and would be hiring him. Like, everyone that talked about Doug Marrone talked about how much Philip Fulmer liked him and wanted him. So whenever he was gone, that makes sense for him to be out of here. But going to be the offensive line coach at Alabama. Okay. Hayden, you wanted to point out a couple things about the AD candidates, I guess?
Yeah, I guess the two rumored are Mark Ingram at UAB, and I don't even know what the first guy's name is for ECU. His last name is Gilbert.
John, I believe.
John Gilbert?
Yep.
Yeah. It seems like the administration really wants Gilbert, in my opinion. That's what the rumor has been. I think that's going to be a disaster for Tennessee.
Why would that be a disaster? Just the ties of Mike Hart?
Dave Hart.
Yeah,
I mean, he was his right-hand man. He was instrumental in...
Who the hell is Mike Hart? Michigan running back? Was that his name from back in like the early 2000s?
I don't know.
Was there a running back named Mike Hart from Michigan?
Yeah, okay. There is a Michigan running back.
Back with Michigan in Ohio State, I think it was 1-2. I don't know. I don't know, man. Keep going. Sorry.
And they just, like, recently just had Title IX issues at ECU. I think they had, like, they had to add a few women's sports back because they got in trouble over there. So I just don't understand why he's, like, the favorite now. I think Ingram at UAB would be much better suited for Tennessee because he played here. He was the long snapper when Peyton Manning was here. And he's brought back that UAB program, which was, like, a complete disaster, 3 years ago when they completely killed the program?
I've seen some people, and, I said I didn't really want to talk about the AD candidates, but, like, just because I don't know what's going to make a good AD here or not. Yes, Ingram at UAB did bring back the football program, but, again, this is just reports from UAB. I don't know where the hell I even found this, but basically, like, UAB, Bill Clark doesn't like Ingram. Basically, like, he has a bad working relationship with a lot of his coaches. Like, the coaches don't really like him. It's just some of the stuff I've seen that he's hard to get along with. So I can see why the people here at Tennessee maybe have known that or know that and don't want to bring somebody in here that's going to, quote-unquote, whip them into shape. Or just be kind of a guy that is hard to get along with and hard to work with. Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not, but just something I saw from him was, like, if he comes here, like, don't expect Bill Clark to even be a candidate because Bill Clark, like, hates him.
Wow.
And just like he doesn't have a good working relationship with his coaches.
Did Mark Ingram not hire
Bill Clark? I thought Bill Clark was there before he got there.
He was.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was.
Okay.
I think that could be part of it. But Ingram's
so maybe that would change it, I guess, a little bit. Like, that's the whole, like, hey, you can hire your own coach and have a relationship. And maybe he would be – like, he would definitely be interested in coming back here and getting the job. Like, if you wanted him, you could get him. If you wanted John Gilbert, you could get him. It's kind of sad that those are our two first options, just simply from the fact they're at UAB and ECU. I'm not saying they couldn't be good here, but I'm just like, you know, John Gilbert hasn't turned ECU into being good at anything. Like, he would just be here to appease, as Hayden said, the administration and Rick Barnes.
Because his son's on the team.
Yep. And they had a good relationship whenever, you know, he was here.
Yeah.
Under Hart.
But Ingram, when he was a special assistant at Temple, hired Matt Rhule.
Okay.
Up there, instrumental in hiring Matt Rhule. And then most recently, like with basketball at UAB, he hired Andy Kennedy.
Those two good hires.
Yep. So
it's better than anybody John Gilbert's hired.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, like, it seems like people want Ingram, right? That seems to be who most people want.
Yeah.
And I do think it's more than a – I think it's more than just because he has Tennessee long snapper on his resume, too, and you actually look at some of the hires he's made. Like you said, Matt Rhule is a hell of a coach. Matt Rhule was a star. Mm-hmm. Andy Kennedy is kind of a no-brainer, but, like, you still have to go out and hire him. Like, Andy Kennedy's a guy that's a good basketball coach. And he's been good at UAB so far, right? Like, they've been pretty good out the gate.
Yeah.
Okay. Future Tennessee basketball head coach, Andy Kennedy. He redeems himself at UAB in time for our AD, Mark Ingram, to bring him here.
What do you think about Kentucky's AD? Was it Barnhart?
Yeah,
I heard his name getting tossed around a little bit.
And he has Tennessee ties. I mean, he was here for a long time before.
It was like 15 years or something, wasn't
it? He was here for a long time. It'd be, you know, he's obviously a Power 5 SEC AD. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like Kentucky's been pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, across the board.
Football's improved over the last few years.
Football's improved. Mark Stoops was, you know, a great hire. They have actually turned themselves into a respectable football program. You know, basketball's always going to be good, but you still, you know, you know how to manage big business and a big brand. I mean, I think that's a positive, obviously. Like, you know, if you have to oversee the stress and the, you know, the ups and downs of a program like Kentucky basketball, you have some experience, right? You've cut your teeth. You've earned your stripes. Is there anybody else that, like, is even on the radar that we know of? Like, is this going to play out? Publicly? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the argument so far has been, is it going to be quick or is it going to be take a while? Tennessee never does anything.
I would say you never know of us.
Charles Davis, remember? You mentioned
that. Well, a tweeter wrote him in, and like he was a guy that was in the last coaching search, but I haven't seen his name pop up. So I saw Khalil McKenzie campaigning for his dad, Reggie.
Of course.
You know, who's worked in NFL front offices.
Khalil McKenzie's still in the league? He's still in the league, ain't he?
He got signed to the Bengals like roster. Yeah. Okay. He was at the end of the Bengals roster, but I think he was actually on the active roster by the end of the year, so I'd say he's in the league.
People have also talked about Gerald Harrison from Austin Peay.
Okay.
He has Tennessee ties, too, but I think he's probably third or fourth on the list. But a little update on Andy Kinsey's Blazers. They are 10-2.
Yeah.
Undefeated.
I mean, he's a hell of a coach. Like, he's good.
Yeah.
He's a little crazy. Wasn't there a whole thing with him, like, attacking, like, a taxi driver or something like that?
Well, he was the coach when Marshall Henderson was at Ole Miss.
No, I know. But wasn't there something like it? Wasn't Andy Kennedy, like, drunk and disorderly in a taxi one time?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Right, that was him, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Assaulting a cab driver.
Yeah.
In Cincinnati.
Yeah.
December 18th. Yeah.
And continued taunting the driver, yeah. So he's got a little wild side.
He sued that cab driver for defamation of character.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. So it wasn't true.
I only hit him
once. I don't know. There's an arrest video. I'll click on it to see. Did he win the case?
Because
you could sue anybody. I could sue you for defamation of character. Doesn't mean you were guilty.
Not sure if he did.
It's a good. It fooled you. The lawsuit worked.
Yeah, it did.
Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with the headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and when he or she is ill, you want the best medical care available. The vets and staff at Admiral Vet are ready to provide your pet with cutting-edge veterinary medical care, from wellness exams and vaccines to advanced diagnostics and